Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so before we get started, I just want to take a minute, Brandon and I together, on behalf of the organization, to offer a little bit of perspective. I know tonight's a big night for the organization, for our fans, but just to send our support, prayers, on behalf of the entire organization to Pancho Vila in his battle right now. And letting him know that we're there with him in spirit, even though we can't be there physically with him right now. So just wanted to start with that, and from there we'll turn it over to you guys.
So that kind of fell pretty much exactly like you hoped, I would guess, right? When that kid falls number 9 there?
Yeah, it definitely did. You stack your board, and you're also doing, odds and ends as far as trying to figure out how the board's going to fall. And, we liked where we were at 9. You don't truly know how it's going to fall. There's a lot of smoke about how many quarterbacks are going to go or not going to go. But we felt if a couple quarterbacks went, we were hoping for as many as 3 just to make it safe, that we'd get a player that we felt was definitely worthy of 9, and that's what we think we did.
Brandon, what is it about Ed Oliver that stands out? People do knock him a little bit for his size and length. But what is it to you that you saw that stands out about Ed?
Ed is first of all, he's a competitor. He's tough. He plays from the snap to the echo of the whistle. He fits Buffalo, how we do things. They used him in Houston a little different than we'll use him. He played a lot, the zero right over the nose. For us, I think Sean will slot him in as a 3-tech in our defense, which is a very important piece for what we're doing. You guys know we lost Kyle, and so we were not able to answer that in free agency. So I think, this fell pretty good for us.
Sean, as you sat and watched free agency and how everything developed there and all the offensive players added, when Ed Oliver's sitting there at number 9, how excited did you get thinking, all right, this is a guy I can use in my defense to just really manipulate things up front?
Right. Well, as Brandon mentioned, Josh, it's a key part of our defense. And so no different and where we came from and how we built that defense and the way we're building our defense now. And I'll say this, no one's going to ever replace Kyle Williams, so I just want to manage expectations, number one, with that. Ed Oliver is going to come in and, number one, earn everything that he gets. That's how we do things here. You guys know that. No different in this case. He's a good player that plays hard, brings his lunch pail, and he's a guy that fits the way we play on the field. So we were obviously excited. You never know how it's going to fall. And sitting at 9, we felt like we're in a pretty good spot where we could get a good player one way or the other. So we feel good about the pick, and I'll give credit where credit's due to Brandon and his staff and the due diligence they put into the situation.
John, could you speak more to maybe his skill set and maybe some of the versatility he brings to the table?
Yeah, and Brandon alluded to the fact that he was used a little bit differently in college than probably how we'll use him here in our system. He was more lateral, I would say, to be simple about it. In college, here we play a penetrating attack-style defense, playing really on the other side of the line of scrimmage, as opposed to staying along the line of scrimmage or moving laterally. So we're a penetration attack-style defense, and we'll use him in that area, in that regard. So the thing about Ed that stands out first and foremost is how quick he is at the line of scrimmage. And they stunted him a lot at Houston, and so we're excited to see him in our system and integrate him into what we do and integrate him into the guys we already have in that room.
Going back to when the season ended, and your scouts get together, you evaluate free agency, you evaluate the draft. Now that we can see all the free agents you brought on offense, was it because you had in mind, you knew there would be some high-end defensive talent in the draft maybe you could get, and we are here this night, you see that those guys were starting to fall?
Yeah, I mean, we did you know, we did know what the D tackles, you know, there's a lot of pass rushers, whether it was D ends or D tackles. And so those were things, you know, you can never have enough pass rushers. Okay. And again, we did know this was a hole. Three techs that are pass rushers rarely get to free agency. And so a lot of times you have to fill that in the draft. And we thought there would be opportunities. You never know how it's going to fall. You know, there were other good players on offense too that were around, but this was just a pick that we thought fit a need as well.
Sean, I remember at the owners' meeting you made a comment that interior pressure is critical to what you try to do. Why, in your mind, is three technique worthy of taking a ninth overall selection and the way that you're going to utilize him in your defense?
Yeah, that's a good question, Joe. I mean, when you look at it, in the comment I made back at the owners' meeting, I stand by. I believe in that philosophically. And if you study the game, it's a lot easier at times. I don't want to say a lot, but it's easier at times to chip a defensive end, take away a defensive end, an edge rusher, as opposed to an inside rusher. A little bit more of a challenge offensively, systematically, to take away an inside rusher that can penetrate and whatnot. So now he did it in college. He's got to do it at our level. That said, just philosophically, it's a critical piece for us in terms of that position and being able to pressure the quarterback inside out.
Brandon, there was a report before the draft, a couple of reports, and I know, you know, what comes out before the draft, you have to sort of caution as to what you believe, but yeah, that you had possibly been looking at moving up, possibly even to number three. Is there anything that you can kind of say about that? Was that a scenario that you explored? And then to follow up on that, when you were on the clock, did you have options to maybe move down?
Yeah, I mean, as we always do, there was a lot of exploring, you know, up in front of us. Some of it you're also filling out, you know, you're trying to figure out what people are going to do. You know, that report was played up much higher than it was. You know, there was never any exchange of compensation or anything like that. That's when you're getting serious on a trade if you start talking parameters of what it's going to take to move up or move back. I realized really this week that 9 was going to be a very valuable spot. You know, Denver could have potentially been in the market for a quarterback. I think after we picked, you know, Pittsburgh traded up. There was a lot of action either way that you could have done. But we were set that if there was a guy there that we felt worthy of the pick, that we were going to take that and not chance losing him.
Were you confident that you had him in for a visit here? Did you have him up right? That, you know, his, from a football character standpoint, team guy, that he fits what you want. You know, I know he had that code incident.
Yeah.
But aside from that.
Yeah.
What do you think about how he fits in that regard?
Yeah, I think he definitely does. I mean, all college kids, there's probably one or two things, you know, all of us would like to do different. You learn along the way. But deep down, he was raised well, good kid. We spent a lot of time. Sean and I were actually at his pro day. Leslie Frazier, Bill Tierlink, Terrence Gray went down there and spent some more time with him. So, as we do with a lot of these guys, and we do our due diligence. Obviously, the film is what it is, but you know how much we care about who the people are, and we checked that box before we gave him that status on our board.
Sean, several times over the last couple of years, you talked extensively about building the defense up the middle. Obviously, you have had safeties here for the last couple of years. Now you had Tremaine last year. Ed Oliver, is he what you would consider kind of the final piece to building a defense up the middle?
Yeah, I don't know if he's the final piece. He's certainly a piece. And you've obviously, with the answers we've given so far, Josh, you know the importance of that position and how integral that is to our defensive, number one, stopping the run, and then also being able to pressure the quarterback, as I mentioned, inside out up front. So being able to rush four as opposed to having to pressure, that gives defensive coordinators a lot of flexibility, if you will. So, you know, he's a piece. Again, he's going to have to come in and earn it. So, but we're anxious to get him in here and learn the defense, learn how we do things here, and then just take it one rep at a time. But I think as you saw, or some of the research y'all have done, he's an energetic young man with a bright smile, and I think he'll bring a lot of juice early on to us, a lot of good energy.
Brandon, had Kyle not retired, I'm not saying you're picking for need here, but would Ed Oliver be a fit? And at this point, had Kyle not, you know, had Kyle elected to come back.
Yeah. I told you we're going to take good football players, and you can never have enough pass rushers, whether it's, you know, exterior or on the interior. And again, three tech is an important piece to Sean's defense. And so losing Kyle made it a bigger need, but if Kyle was here, we would have still taken Ed Oliver.
What was it like for you being at Ed's pro day and kind of getting a chance to see him up close and then to have him kind of fall in your lap?
Sean almost got run over at his pro day.
Sorry, I was in control the whole time. I don't know what he's talking about. Lesser athlete would have gotten running. No, I mean, it's unusual sometimes that works out the way it did, Matt. But I didn't go to a lot of pro days this year. But it is unusual that, in particular, the one that we were at together, that it was Ed Oliver at the end of the day. And I mean, you could feel him, right? And that's presence, energy. You could feel his presence, his energy. And then when he worked out, you could feel him also, right? And the closer you got, obviously, as you mentioned, the more you felt the quickness, the more you felt the power, the more you felt the juice, and really probably more than anything, the competitive nature of this young man. He wants it, and that hunger is a critical piece that we look for.
Explain that a little bit more, Sean, if you could, just how you feel it. I mean, just you know, when you're there and within a player and you're watching that player, just what that feeling is, what that sensation is in some ways, when you say you feel it.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you drive down the interstate there and you're getting close to that General Mills plant and you can smell the Cheerios. That's kind of what I mean. You can feel it. You can smell it, you know, just... No, you can just smell it. You can just, I mean, when you're around a good football player, the guy that wants it, right? I mean, it's no different in your line of work. When you're around people that want it and they're passionate about what they do, you can smell that. You can feel it.
Brandon, I know you do a lot of scenarios. You know, you go through your head, you do the mock drafts, things like that. Were there a lot of them that you had Ed Oliver falling down to 9 to you guys?
You know, Sal, there were some where he was gone early. I think the earliest spot in our mocks he went was 3 to the Jets a couple times. But, you know, we did different scenarios. One, we had 3 quarterbacks going before us. He did fall to us. The 2 quarterback one, I think he did. But when it was 1 quarterback, I don't think he ever fell. We did about 8 mocks and just tried to give different scenarios. But we knew it was going to be close. You know, the other part you worry about, you're trying to figure out what teams are really dying to get. But, you know, we were worried about, even with Detroit on the clock, of even if he wasn't necessarily a perfect fit for them, somebody trading up and getting him. But, you know, we stayed patient, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But it worked this time. And, listen, as Sean said, we're excited. But just like we said with Josh and Tremaine last year, being a first-round pick on our team – doesn't guarantee you anything. You know, undrafted guys played a lot last year, and I'm sure we'll have an undrafted guy or two compete. So it'll be the same for Ed. We'll have a lot of – nothing will be given to him.
Speaking of staying patient, what should be done for the evening?
You never say never. You guys know me.
Take 2 more, please, Adam. Brandon, I mean, at what point – I mean, to have him fall to you and to get this player – and to complement the defense the way that it is, how positive a scenario is this for you as you project forward now?
Yeah, I mean,
what you didn't have to give up, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about earlier with Jay's question, you know, there are scenarios where you look to where you would have to go up to get this true 3 tech, and there's not a lot of. It's a position that there's generally, like all these pass rushers, that go fast, so. You know, we knew it was going to be close. It worked out, you know, we thought pretty well for us. We thought the board fell once Dave Gettleman and the Giants took the 2nd quarterback. Things started to take shape on our board that we're going to get a player that is, you know, that high on our board.
These past couple of years, you've drafted now 3 defensive players in the 1st round. Aside from Josh Allen, of course.
Is there any preference drafting a defensive player at the top of the draft as opposed to an offensive player due to maybe the defensive player may be able to contribute right away a little bit easier than an offensive player?
No, not really. I think you truly have to set your board to their skill set and how you think they'll fit what you do. So, you know, there were offensive players, you know, that, you know, one went right before us, but there were offensive players still on our board that deserve to be, you know, and will be drafted in the first round. I'm sure some have gone since we've been down here, but no, we were truly, and you will continue to do that. I mean, we're at 40 the next pick, and if it's defense, it's defense. If it's offense, it's offense. We're going to stick to that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.